Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on Hump Day. We're going to get you all the way to go home time today and to the weekend, so stand by. Listen, we're in number one of the Triple Dipper here talking about election matters. Not just that elections matter, but election matters themselves. What is happening with the elections? And you saw last night, we talked about it at length a little while ago. President Trump signed a new executive order last night dealing with election integrity. In this case, it's going to be largely centered around the idea of proof of citizenship for federal elections. We've got photo voter ID in Alabama, which when I was in the legislature, we helped pass. It has worked quite well, despite all of the, you know, the liberal fear-mongering that somehow it would disenfranchise a whole swath of voters because they aren't smart enough to get a photo ID, and yet we fixed that for them. But listen, I cannot say enough about why voter integrity, or election integrity, matters at every single level. The smallest town in my district when I was in the state senate was the town of Ridgeville, where, if I recall, the mayor won by a vote of 19-12 to be a mayor. And the reality is, if there had been voter fraud in that one, I believe they still would have cared, even though the town had a vote of 19-12. Well, listen, I got a friend of mine, Brian Taylor. He's a former state senator. We served together in the Alabama legislature. Brian also was a candidate for the Supreme Court of the state of Alabama. He's a practicing attorney. He's a former Army officer, a JAG officer. And he's also, like I've been in the past, he has been representing someone in an election dispute, which has been dating back to the 2022 election. He's on the phone right now. Brian Taylor, how you doing, my brother?
I'm doing great, Phil. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. Sorry for that extra long introduction there. But listen, man, you've been representing a client who ran for sheriff in Conecuh County. And it's just crazy to me that you've got a case dating back to 2022, which is just going to trial recently, but it's also strictly involving potential discrepancies in voter count. Tell us what you got.
Yeah, I tell you, well, this initially was not my case. I got a call from the party last September asking if I would jump in and take it over and get it back on track because it had just stalled. It's not really clear why it stalled, but the judge had never set a trial date, and so it just wasn't moving along. So I jumped in on the case in September, and this deals with a general election in 2022 for sheriff of Conecuh County. When the votes came in on election day, when the provisional votes were counted after election day, it was a tie vote. Just about couple thousand votes each, but it was a tie vote. And so in Alabama, as you know, Phil, that triggers an automatic recount.
Yeah.
And so the canvassing board, which is three elected officials in the county, meets and they consider those ballots. They recount those ballots. In Conecuh County, a lot of people wouldn't believe this about Alabama, but as you know, and it's in some pockets of Alabama, still very heavily Democrat.
Oh, yeah.
So all three elected officials of the canvassing board were Democrats. In fact, one member of the canvassing board was the contestee or the respondent in this lawsuit, the sheriff. He was the one being challenged by the Republican who is our client. So they replaced him on the canvassing board with, I believe it was the county commission chairman, who is also a Democrat. And they met, they held the recount, and they certified the Democrat sheriff, who was the incumbent, as the winner by one or two votes. We're not really sure because the testimony at trial conflicts. We presented testimony from a poll watcher who was also the Republican chairman for the county, and she testified that the probate judge jumped up at the end of the recount and announced a one-vote difference in favor of the Democrat incumbent. However, the probate judge has testified it was a two-vote difference. So that in and of itself is a conflict. But, you know, we introduced enough evidence at the trial so far that I think to overcome whatever the vote difference is, we've got pretty clear evidence that the Republican, hands down, should have won that race.
Okay, so listen, for folks who are playing catch up on this, first of all, the sheriff's race is actually a really big deal. It's a constitutional figure in the county, which has a lot of power. And so you got a guy who was running against a longtime Democrat incumbent and tied him. And then when everything's said and done, he's down by one, maybe two. All right, but you presented evidence at trial, which is a matter of public record. I know you've already had, well, you had a day of trial, let's put it that way. But you presented evidence, like live testimony of people saying, that's not my ballot, I'm not the one who filled that out.
Right, and in our investigation leading up to trial, we had an investigator who interviewed a number, a dozen or more absentee voters, or folks who had absentee ballots cast in their name, who actually told the investigator that they never voted in the election.
Wow.
And when we went through the ballots, there were a couple of names, Phil, that showed up time and time and time again, ballot after ballot, as a witness. So that indicated to us that there was some degree of ballot harvesting going on.
Yeah.
Now, ballot harvesting, as we know it today under Alabama law, was not illegal in 2022, but I'm talking about the kind of ballot harvesting where somebody comes along and votes your ballot for you, turns it in. You never actually cast a vote, but the party or some, you know, some candidate, the machine gets that vote for the candidate, regardless of whether the ballot was legal or illegal. So it's our job in the election contest to present evidence that the ballot that was counted for a candidate, for the incumbent sheriff, the Democrat in this case, was not a legally cast ballot. And just as an example, we had one witness come to the stand. She testified that she did not vote in the election. She testified that some girl came to her house, got her ballot, left with the ballot. She said, I did not vote in this election. She was unequivocal about it. That testimony was absolutely uncontroverted. And because it was uncontroverted, as you know, it has to be accepted by the court.
That's right.
As the truth. There's no basis for the court, no reasonable basis for the court to conclude otherwise. So we had that.
Well, let me ask you this. You talk about let me ask you real quick, Brian. You talk about uncontroverted evidence, but I'm reading an article from 1819 right now about this particular trial y'all had. And what I'm hearing is in the article is that the incumbent didn't even put on witnesses. So you guys brought in a case in chief, and the incumbent never even put on a witness of any kind. Is that right?
That's right, and we haven't even closed our case yet. So we subpoenaed a number of witnesses, including the witness who we believe was collecting ballots. They did not appear at trial in violation of those subpoenas, and we've asked the judge to compel their attendance at the second day of hearing, the second day of trial. But out of the blue, we got this order yesterday just dismissing the case.
Wow.
And declaring the incumbent Democrat sheriff the winner based, and this is what's crazy, Phil, based strictly on the probate judge's word about the recount certification.
Stop
it. There was no certification of the recount. There's nothing on record showing what the recount vote total finally was.
Look, you've got to measure your statements because you're still technically before that court with a right of appeal. But I'm going to tell you right now, that's a jackleg ruling right there. That is absolutely, you don't have to affirm or deny. That's a jackleg ruling, brother. That is a judge who just acted sua sponte without having any grounds to do so and is probably plainly and palpably wrong with an abuse of conduct or abuse of discretion.
Well, we're going to ask the judge to reconsider that and hope that he'll see our point and that it's reversible error. If the judge is not inclined to correct that error himself, we'll appeal it. And I think, like you said, I think it's a pretty good case on appeal to just there's no basis for the ruling at this point in time. Not only that, but the document that the probate judge says was the result of the recount 2 years ago actually has a date of that it was printed of March 6, 2 days after the hearing in this case.
What?
And the judge has accepted that document. So we have a document produced after the hearing that purports to be the certified result of the recount, And it just came out of nowhere. It was 2 days after the hearing was presented to the court, and the court has accepted that over our objection. So we have a number of grounds to appeal the case, a number of grounds that we're going to call the judge's attention to and ask him to reconsider.
Listen, man, I'll be honest with you. I'm going to make sure that I don't go above the speed limit through Conecuh County. and this does not affect my love for Conecuh sausage, but that is a sausage-making courthouse down there, it sounds like.
Well, now this judge, Judge Kittrell, is actually, as I understand it, has a pretty good reputation. He's a retired judge. He was specially appointed on this case 2 years ago by Justice Tom Parker in Alabama. The Chief Justice appoints special judges to hear these type cases when the local judge recuses, as happened here. So, I'm going to keep the faith that Judge Kittrell will agree with us and see that the decision was erroneous and untimely. At best, it was premature. And we'll see if we can fix this before we appeal it. And if not, we're not afraid to go straight to the next higher court.
Well, real quick, brother, with about a minute left, obviously you're neck deep in this thing and you care and you've got a client whose interests you're going to zealously pursue. But you've also been an elected official yourself. You've run campaigns. I know you've seen it at all levels. But would you agree that election integrity matters, and no matter what level we're at? That was a gimme question.
Yeah, look, you hit a lot of people. It's tempting to say, man, this is a sheriff's race in a small county in Alabama. Who really cares? What's the relevance? It is absolute. We have to remember this could have happened in Conecuh County in any race. The sheriff's race was just one race on the ballot. What if this had happened in the governor's race or a U.S. Senate race? You have to have election integrity in every race, or the system just breaks down. And more importantly, and what this case demonstrates, is that you have to have an independent judiciary.
Yeah.
This is a Democrat judge who's hearing this case, and, I think he understands, at least we're going to help him understand, that he needs to look at this from a nonpartisan, independent perspective, and he needs to call balls and strikes. And if we don't have a judiciary that stands up and renders fair, impartial, and independent judgments, then we can't have election integrity in this country. And if you don't have election integrity, you don't have a country.
No, that's exactly right. So well said. And listen, I think it's also fair to point out there are laws that allow the challenging of a ballot count, and that's what you're doing. And after 2020, everybody said you can't challenge that. Yes, you can. The laws of every state have the means and methods by which you can legally challenge the results of an election.
That's right. And we're going to argue we still have the right to put on evidence in this case. We haven't rested. The judge has not even examined some of the election day ballots. You and I just talked about absentee ballots, but there were ballots cast on election day that improperly marked that need to be assessed by the court as to whether they count as a vote.
God,
I hate to bring it up, but it goes back to Bush v. Gore and voter intent. Yeah.
Hanging chads. Oh, man. Well, listen, man, I got to leave it there. I ran long just trying to get all that in, but great job on your part. Stay in the fight and keep us posted on this, and we'll have you back on for an update when the time comes, all right?
Will do. Thanks for having me.
All right, take care. All right, I did run long. We got to go to a break. Let's take the break right now, JP. But I hope y'all are hearing this. Y'all, that's a county in our state where we have some of the best voter laws in the nation, and it still looks shady as crap. And it's right here in Alabama. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.